24. My name is Annette Lutz, and I'm with the National Federation of the Blind of Ohio, and I'm so glad all of you are able to join us today. I think summer has finally gotten to Columbus, Ohio, and we are all enjoying the very nice summer weather that's finally here. And we are all getting so excited for our upcoming national convention. We're going to talk a lot about that today. So I hope all of you will be able to join us, if not in person. And I know a lot of you listening are going to come to Austin, Texas in person. But those of you who can't make it in person, we have a virtual experience for you as well. And that's going to be the information for that on our website, nfb.org/convention. And you'll find out how to join us virtually. The convention, like I said, is in Austin, Texas. It's going to be July 3rd through the 8th. And we'd love to have you there in person. I guess it's still not too late to make arrangements to come in person. But we know if you can't do that, we'd love to have you virtually. Some of the things we're going to talk today, a lot of them will be virtual. We have all of our general sessions, our board meeting, our resolutions meeting, and I know we have our banquet, which is always the high point of convention. That'll be Wednesday, July 8th at 7:30 our time here in Ohio. I'd love to have all of you join us. In the meantime, we have a couple other things I want to tell you about going on here in Ohio. Tonight, so this was very good timing, our DEI committee is hosting a Juneteenth seminar talking about delayed access. We all know the story of Juneteenth, where the people in Galveston, Texas, did not receive the news of the Emancipation Proclamation till June 19th, 1865, which was almost 2 years later than when it was signed. So that's obviously a great celebration day and now a federal holiday for the last several years. And so our own Dr. Carolyn Peters will be hosting a seminar all about that and some of the impacts still felt today, tonight at 7 p.m. on the Ohio Zoom Room. And I'll give you our code for the Ohio Zoom Room. Most all of our everything we have virtually here in Ohio is on this code, 408-185-0851. And you can access that by using any Zoom phone number and putting in that code. And I'll try and give you that number again at the end of the show so you can write it down. And we're also gearing up, getting ready for some good, healthy competition with some of our other state affiliates on our PAC plan. So I know our chapters are working and competing. We have a challenge going on. A shout out to Chastity Gilliam, who is our chairperson for this. We know that we're going to challenge and try and get some funds for our PAC plan and a challenge between chapters. So let's all root for Capital Chapter. Yay. So I want all of our chapters and individuals in Ohio to do well, to try and do well for our PAC plan. So many other things going on, but right now, just 2 weeks out, we are almost entirely focused on convention. And like I said, it's in Austin, Texas. And I have a couple of young ladies on here this morning to tell us all about Texas and Austin and convention planning. And I couldn't think of anyone better to do it than our Texas State Affiliate President, Norma Crosby, and our Austin Chapter President, Pamela Chesser. Good morning, ladies. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you're both here. Before we get into talking about convention, let's hear a little bit about yourselves and how you've gotten to the point where you are here and playing host to convention. Norma, you want to start?
Sure. So I've been a member of the National Federation of the Blind since 1982. I've done practically every job I can think of that maybe needed to be done in the affiliate, whether it's behind the scenes stuff or out front things. Most of my life, I always tell people, you know, you don't have to be an elected official to be a leader. Most of my time in the Federation has been spent not serving in leadership capacity, not being elected. But for the past 12 years, I have been elected both to our state affiliate as our state affiliate president. And I have been since 2015 a member of our national board. I currently serve as our national treasurer. So the Federation has given me so many opportunities at confidence building activities and the opportunity to be a leader, and sometimes force me into leadership roles when I didn't think I could do it. But I'm very proud of the work we do in Texas, and I'm very proud of our chapters, including our Austin chapter. So Pam probably can tell you a little bit about herself as well.
Pam?
That's a hard act to follow. I started in the National Federation of the Blind in 2007, and it was pretty much just after I had my twins. I was kind of looking for a place to find other blind parents, and now I have seven children. So apparently they were a good source of knowledge. But I had started in the, I've always been in the Austin chapter. And I have served in different roles, pretty much almost every role in the chapter over the years. And then for the past 3 years, I've served on the affiliate as a board member. But the NFE has definitely given me the confidence to be able to be more of a leader. I definitely didn't start out with really strong leadership skills, but I enjoyed the opportunity to become a mentor. And like back in 2009, when I didn't really think that I had a lot to offer, but was able to really, I think that was how I learned to start really teaching, and it's definitely been a great experience.
Absolutely. My path is a little similar to yours, and I will say the NFB has helped me develop the leadership skills that I didn't think I had either before coming into this organization. So I'm less than seven children by six. I have one. So I can't share that part with you, but the leadership part, I absolutely get. So tell us a little bit about the Texas affiliate.
Sure. So the Texas affiliate is very active. We not only do a lot of the things that other affiliates do, but we try to innovate new programming and to make it possible for blind people to live the lives they want through our local chapters and through the programs that we do. For example, we were the first affiliate to put on a program called Silver Bell Senior Training, and you may have heard that from other affiliates now. Some of them have contacted us and said, hey, we'd like to do Silver Bells as well. Some have just struck out on their own, and that's wonderful too. So it's really made a real difference in senior lives here in Texas. We are actually about to do our, I'm trying to think how many. We started in 2015, I'm sorry, was our first Silver Bell Senior Training. And we've done it every year since. Even during COVID, we did virtual Silver Bells trainings. And now I'm proud to say that the National Senior Division has kind of followed our lead with what we did during COVID, and they do a week-long senior retreat that's virtual now every year, so it can reach out to more people around the country. So shout out to the Vine Seniors.
Yeah.
And we did a we've done a couple of projects, one called Bold and one called Boulder. And those were camping experiences for blind children, and Boulder included blind adults as well. We had families come in to a state park with us, and we taught them camping skills. We had their blind, their sighted siblings come along, their parents, and we did work with parents while the kids were learning the camping skills, including kayaking, tent building, fire theory, and just hiking, all kinds of stuff. They got to make their own hot dogs and s'mores, and so the idea behind that program was that blind people can camp, and blind children don't have to be set aside when their families choose to do that activity. And so it's been a really fun experience. It was done through a grant from the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. Of course, we continue to operate a mentoring program for blind youth, 14 to 22 actually. Mm-hmm. As it happens now, all of our kids are 16 or older. But we have done mentoring programming since 2007 continuously, and we hope to continue that. So there's lots going on. Newsline is a huge part of what we do in Texas. We actually started the Silver Bells program through as part of our Newsline program, because we not only train people in other skills during the Silver Bell senior training, but we train them in the benefits of Newsline and how they can use that service to enhance their reading, and to have reading and keeping up to date on news be an important part of their lives, continuing past blindness.
Absolutely. You guys sound very busy. Pam, you have anything going on? I mean, other than convention, of course, in the Austin chapter. You want to tell us about your chapter?
Yeah, so we have members that are of all ages. We don't really have teenagers right now, I guess, but maybe soon we have some coming out of the School for the Blind. But all that's to say, I'm also a Newsline ambassador, and so for the chapter, and so that's part of something that we try as soon as they become members, if they don't have access, to help with, even regardless of their age. I mean, we have some that are some members that are in their 70s and 80s as well. And so, you approach everything a little bit differently. Yeah. But we've tried to also do a lot of events and become more kind of community partners. So we did a beeping Easter egg hunt for the School for the Blind, in which we kind of orchestrated everything from researching how to get these expensive eggs for little to nothing. Yeah, it was, I think, the highlight of everything. but also, we have made meals at the Ronald McDonald House, which is a place where families stay who have children who are really sick.
Yeah.
And things like that. So just showing that we can be active in the community and kind of share awareness. Did a lot more with some of the services, like Waymo and Aira Explorer for metro services and things like that, just so we can also be, actually, I also just did one at the Aira Explorer at our local airport, and they did say that they will make, right now there's only 4 logins at a time, and they did say that the convention, they will up it to, they didn't give me a number, but they will, they definitely know that there's a lot of people coming in, mainly to use that for navigation. So basically it'd be a free service for people.
Oh, great.
So we're just trying to make sure that people know that we're here and that we can assist with accessibility projects.
That's awesome. And I may steal the Easter egg hunt idea. We also, being in Columbus, are the host chapter, I guess it were, of our state school for the blind. So that sounds like a fun endeavor. I may talk to our chapter about doing something along those lines too. That's great. So, Texas, you guys have this little event coming up here in a couple weeks. You might get a few visitors coming. You're going to get swamped with visitors.
We're hoping so.
Absolutely. Yeah, National Convention. Now, Norma, how did Texas and Austin get picked for National Convention?
Well, that would be a question for President Rigoboto, but
okay.
But always, you know, what we know that as hard as we work every day to improve employment for blind people, that it's still an issue. And so one of the things that we look at when we're looking for convention sites is the availability of hotel space at a reasonable cost.
Yes.
And of course, also he and John Berggren and the team that coordinates convention experiences each year want it to be a place that we think people will enjoy being, and we definitely think Austin is that place. It's a great city, just has all kinds of activities around town that people can get into. It's the live music capital of the world, as we say. And as you know, this year our theme has kind of been taken from Austin's saying, "Keep Austin weird." So this year we're having the concept of keep the NFB, whatever you might want to say at that time, given the presentation or the seminar or whatever. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of factors that go into the determination of where we'll go, but those are definitely factors to consider, because we want as many blind people to be able to come as possible. And we know, you know, if we go to a city where it's going to cost $200 plus a night, you know, we're going to have fewer folks. So
right.
Austin is normally kind of an expensive city in terms of hotel space and the like. So our national leadership has made a really great effort at getting us the kind of rates we're used to having at conventions, so that blind people can come and can participate.
Absolutely. Now let's talk some about the planning. I know National definitely takes the lead, but as the host affiliate and chapters, what is your role in helping to plan?
So our role is... Excuse me. You wanna go, Pam?
Oh, my role is to do what Nola tells me to.
I like that answer. That's a good answer. So our role, you know, we organize the opening ceremony for the convention. So hopefully we've got that all set. Most affiliates do some kind of a restaurant guide, and Pam's team is working on that as we speak. You know, it's mostly our biggest role, in my view, is to be friendly and to make people feel welcome.
Yes. Absolutely. And I am looking forward to that restaurant guide. That's one of my questions coming
up. Oh, yes. We're almost done with it.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, whenever you go to somewhere else, you got to try it. I'll just ask it right now. where am I going to get some good barbecue?
You know, I said it in my, and Pam may have a thought on this too. I said it in my May Monitor article that almost anywhere you go is going to be better than anywhere else in the U.S. So we're proud of our barbecue in Texas. Can you find bad barbecue? Yeah, you probably can. I wouldn't recommend the chains like Dickie's and that kind of stuff. That's not real barbecue. But most any independent barbecue place in Austin is probably going to be better than you'll find in most other places. So Terry Black's is good. Franklin's barbecue is great, but Pam can probably tell you if you want to go to Franklin's, you're probably going to stand in line for a long time. And you may not have that much time between sessions. The Texas Monthly Magazine does periodically they do a top 50 barbecue places in Texas. And I think 8 or 9 of them, that top 50 are currently located in Austin. So I know Pam and the Austin team are probably putting together some barbecue places as part of the restaurant guide, right, Pam?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
We'd be in trouble if we left that out.
Oh, yeah.
Barbecue and Tex-Mex.
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, one of my other favorites, yes. Definitely. Well, okay, Tex-Mex. Good recommendations you can share?
Pam, you got one? I have one.
I would let you go ahead because I'm not thinking right now exactly like close to the hotel.
This one isn't, it's an Uber ride from the hotel, but it's definitely worth the trip. It's called Matt's El Rancho.
Oh, yeah.
They're down on South Lamar.
Okay.
You can't walk it for sure. It's for sure an Uber ride, but it's not a long Uber ride from the hotel. So it's an affordable Uber ride from the hotel. Now, if you want to go, I mentioned this in my article as well, but if you're looking for like maybe a date night barbecue or whatever, you might try the County Line, which is out in the Westlake Hills area of Austin. Or the one that I'm familiar with is, I think there may be another one somewhere in town. But the County Line is just an old school barbecue place that's been there for many decades. So, you don't survive in the restaurant business for decades.
Right.
You're not pretty good. So it's very busy. The Westlake Hills area is a really pretty part of Austin. And County Line's a good place. Stubbs Barbecue is good. Those are some suggestions that I might have for Tex-Mex or barbecue.
Well, I'm definitely taking them down and looking forward to the guide that you produced because. That's a big part. You know, convention's vacation too. It's working vacation, but it's still vacation.
It is. It is. And I would say we're in downtown and a few things are closed because they're working on the convention center.
Okay.
The Austin Convention Center, I don't believe is open at all right now. They're remodeling it. And we're right down by the convention center. A few things may be closed, but there's lots that you can walk to. Hopefully, that's going to be in our restaurant guide to give you some guidance about what's near the hotel.
Okay. Well, looking forward to it. But tell us some about the hotel. I'm sure both of you have been there and checked it out I know there's a lot of restaurants on site.
There are restaurants on site. there is at the Austin downtown Marriott, there's a very nice kind of grab and go place that has sandwiches and the like. Of course, there's a good restaurant there as well. There are restaurants at the JW, of course. The people asked me about the elevator situation.
Oh, yes.
So I'll go ahead and dive into that a little bit. We're actually, the Austin chapter and I are actually going to do a tour this weekend of the hotel to make sure that, you know, a number of our chapter members are familiar and can kind of help people navigate a little as they need to. But back to the elevators, in the JW Marriott, I've been telling everyone they're dumb elevators. They're not smart elevators like we had in New Orleans. I will say that at the Austin Marriott downtown, if you're living there, there are smart elevators there. But in the headquarters hotel, the elevators are what I would call regular elevators.
Yes.
But they're both hotels and the other overflows, I'm blanking on the other two, but they're Marriott properties as well. And they're all very nice. I think some of the, if you happen to be really late and get in to some of the overflows that are not either the downtown Marriott or the JW, some of them have free breakfast, I think. So if you happen to be staying there, you might get a little help on food just by having free breakfast every morning.
I think I saw that on a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we are, there's lots of great meeting space, in the hotels. And, I think everybody's going to have an amazing time.
I'm sure we will. Tell us a little bit about, and we talked some about your plans and things. Are you doing any tours? I know you mentioned one in your article that you might be doing. Did that come to fruition?
That is not going to happen.
Okay.
We didn't get enough. We got some interest, but not enough that it's going to happen, I think, to make it. I think it would be costly enough that people wouldn't want to do it, because we had few enough people wanted to, that we would have to charge a pretty good rate for transportation to get them there. Because Bucky's is not right in Austin.
Okay. I was just going to tell those listening who may not have read your article that it was to Bucky's. Bucky's is new to Ohio. So those of us listening here, a lot of our folks may not have been there. Before, I have never been to Bucky's. It is about a 45 minutes to an hour outside of Columbus. Looking forward to getting there, but I've had a couple folks mention that if they would have done that, maybe they would have went there in Texas with you. Because they just opened like maybe 2 months ago, our first one in Ohio.
So, yeah, and for people who don't know what Bucky's is, just for Texas information, it started here in Texas. It actually started here in the county where our office is, in Brazoria County. And it started out as small gas stations, just like everybody else, but they built an empire of these huge convenience store, gift store. They have fudge counters, they have sandwiches, they have barbecue, they have all kinds of stuff that you might want to take home with you, souvenirs. And the Bucky's we were looking at is about 65,000 square feet of shopping pleasure and food pleasure. And a lot of them, they are gas stations. They're not for trucks, they're for people.
Right.
But there, many of them have over 100 gas pumps. So the saying that everything's bigger in Texas is definitely true about a lot of the Bucky's. And they have started to spread out around the country. So
yeah,
they are now in several other states.
We just got our first one. So I imagine most of our folks listening, unless they visited in another state, like Texas, probably haven't been there yet. Because this just came, I said, not even 2 months. I don't think it's been open yet. So
well, it's a fun way to spend some of your money.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I never go in without spending $25 or $30.
So. Oh, I can't imagine you could have a place that big, because everyone's going to find something they want.
We do have another year of it here in Austin, so maybe we can revisit the interest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. That is true. I know next year's convention, you guys get to do it all over again.
Yep.
So I'm sure it's going to be a great experience. And that'll
learn this year and improve next.
There you go. There you go. So anything else you could tell us about highlights for convention some of our folks should watch for?
Well, if you've looked at the agenda, you know there's lots of highlights in my view. One highlight that I would point out is we're doing an event called Southern Strums this year.
Yes.
And Southern Strums is something that started, 25 years ago, maybe. It was done when we had conventions in Texas, which in the early part of the 2000s, we had several conventions in Texas. I think we had 06, 08, 10, and 12. And during those times, our student division organized a kind of an entertainment type show. They invited people. It was an open mic night in many ways. This year, I'm not the one organizing it. Kimberly Aguilar is taking charge of that piece of convention activities, and they are inviting people who have done it before to come. So it's music, it's fellowship, it's just a good time. That'll be on the 5th of July from 9 p.m. to midnight. So they're giving people an opportunity to get done with all their meetings for the day and then just to sit back, relax, and hear some great music.
Absolutely. I saw that and looking forward to it. Other music, obviously you mentioned earlier, Austin, a live music capital. Of the world, I think.
Of the world is what we say.
Of the world, that's big talk.
It is.
I said it in my article in May. Almost anyone you'll meet on the street corner is probably in a band. there are lots of musicians in Austin. And the great thing of course, we want to be engaged in the convention itself. But when you do have a little free time, 6th Street is one of the main music areas, wouldn't you say, Pam, in Austin?
Yeah, definitely. And then we have the newer Moody Center that has a lot. We've had, since that's been built, we've had performers of all different types.
Yeah, there, I hear Bob Dylan is coming in right before our convention. For the Dylan fans. But 6th Street is just really much of the street is made up of clubs, bars, places where you'll hear music, comedy, all kinds of stuff. And 6th Street is just a few blocks from our hotel. So you could actually walk to 6th Street from either one of the hotels that you might be in.
Oh, that's great. Now, do they do it? I mean, I assume it's all different kinds of music.
It's everything from jazz to blues to country to anything you can think of. It's probably somewhere on 6th Street.
Now, is there there's probably like a website or a guide to kind of help people find the kind they're looking for?
Yeah.
Or do you know of anything like that?
I would look at Visit Austin.
Okay.
They have a lot of information about what's you know, what's going on around Austin and places to visit.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, when you look at the agenda, you try to think, boy, there's not a lot of time because there's so many things to do during a convention. But every now and then in the evening, someone might have a chance to get away or and look for something else to do. So restaurants and music. And I thought I saw something about a park nearby or a...
Zilker Park is... Okay. Not ultra far from the convention.
Republic Square Park is actually really close.
Yeah. And you want to tell them about that, Pam?
Yeah. So Republic Square Park is at 4th and Guadalupe. I haven't actually been there since that because they had a lot of construction going on there for a while. We used to do our White Cane Days there all the time. But I haven't visited there since everything's gotten remodeled, but I've been told it's a lot bigger. It's beautiful. They have a lot of like garden type stuff there and it's pretty peaceful.
Yeah. It's kind of, I guess, kind of the equivalent of our Discovery Green in Houston. But Zilker is a really big park. It's, again, I wouldn't walk to it from, I mean,
right.
A real hiker you might, because there are trails all around Austin. So you might, but there in that park is Barton Creek. Barton Creek is, for lack of a better term, a swimming hole. It's a place where the water is cool all year round. And it's a place that a lot of people do go and visit when they have time, and especially great if you have kids. The Thinkery is, it's not a park, it's a children's type museum, and it is used to blind people because there's okay. A huge blind community in Austin. I tease all the time and say every blind person in Texas has lived in Austin at some point in their life.
That's like Columbus almost. So I get that. Yeah, and like I said, sometimes people, if they get a chance, they want to, and the parks, you know, sometimes convention is very overwhelming for some people. So it's nice to maybe just step away and be in a park because there's so much going on at convention. To just step away for an hour to walk around where it's quiet is could be a good thing to do for some. And if they have their kids there, that museum sounds great too. Tell us a little bit about the logistics. First of all, I'm going to show my ignorance here. What part of Texas is Austin in?
Austin is Central Texas.
Okay. Okay, so close to the middle. And I know it's Texas. I know it's July. I'm expecting hot.
So, that's a good expectation okay. to have.
It probably hasn't been as hot this summer yet as it usually are. So, as it usually is. But, I mean, I would say expect it to be really, really hot. And then... be pleasantly surprised if we get a little bit of
relief. Yeah. Well, we've been in New Orleans and Orlando, and so they were not exactly cool. So I think we're getting used to having very warm weather for our convention. Maybe in a couple of years when we go to Chicago, that'll feel cool. The airport. How far? Most of our folks obviously will be flying in. You've already shared with us that Ira is going to be a free location for the airport. That's awesome. How far is it from the hotels?
Pam, you want to take that? I have a general knowledge, but you might.
I was going to say, I think you came in and went to the hotel. I know how far it is from my house. But I think, and I live in South Austin, but I mean,
I would say 15 minutes or.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. 15 to 20 minutes, I believe. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. That's not, just so people kind of know what to expect. And
yeah, Bergstrom is in the southern part of the city. And, you know, we're downtown. So I would say 15 or 20 minutes.
And I assume Ubers, Lyfts, taxis, absolutely, all of that stuff.
And one of the things Pam may be able to address this too. One of the things is that the way Waymo is in Austin, but the way you get a Waymo is through Uber.
Oh.
You don't use your Waymo app. You can let Uber know that you're okay with an autonomous vehicle. Pam, have you done it?
Yeah, and let me maybe reach out and give an update, because my understanding is that they're planning to be here in Austin during our convention and offer the Waymo app
that
point in time. So let me make sure that I'm correct on that before.
Okay. That is one of the things some of us are looking forward to. We do not have that in Ohio yet.
We've been doing some work with Waymo. Not only has it, and Pam would be the one to know more in Austin, but Waymo has come into Houston, Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio, and they have been doing it through the Uber app. So that's why Pam's saying maybe we need to get an update from the person we're working with at Waymo.
Yeah, because she used the Waymo app when she was here, and then it indicated that it would be the same, because we talked about the differences. So she indicated that it would be the same during the convention when they're here. So I'm hoping that's true, because it was a great experience through the Waymo app.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that we're looking forward to that. I know a couple of us have talked about when we, you know, step away to go out to eat or something. Checking out. I have one of my members even said they're going to try and grab one from the airport. I don't know if I'm that daring yet. but I said, well, go for it. That'd be awesome. But to go to a restaurant or something from the hotel, I definitely would try it. Oh, is there anything that you know of going on for, I know it's the 4th, we're going to be there, 250th anniversary or birthday of our country. Do you know anything going on in Austin that might be special for that?
I'm going to defer to Pam, because obviously she's going to hear local stuff more than I would.
Yeah, I mean, I know every 4th of July we have stuff everywhere, like especially being downtown, there will be fireworks shows everywhere. Even when we should not have them in the city limits, we do. but I will admit that I've been super busy and haven't looked up like local events during that time.
I would be shocked if there wasn't something on Town Lake, or
it's
called now Lady Bird Lake.
I'm pretty sure they've got stuff out there, Lake Travis, and
that's very near the convention area.
So. Okay. And well, I was wondering too, if, you know, those of us going to be there on the 3rd and the 4th, if it's, you know, if I know like downtown Columbus, when we do our big fireworks show, you can't move in downtown Columbus. You couldn't get a ride. If you get dropped off, it has to be, you know, several blocks away from the action and all that. And I was like, well, I wonder if we can even get out on the 4th and, be able to move around some, or if downtown's going to be packed.
That's a good question, and I truly don't know the answer.
Yeah. But
the good news is when there are activities, we should be in the heart of things because of where the hotels are.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And I know that, I mean, there'll be two groups of folks, ones who really want to be in the heart of the action and those who want to hide from it. So I will... most of our folks are in, but just was wondering if there was anything you knew about. But that's great. So let's talk a little bit about kind of the most people listening may have probably have seen the agenda by now, but just kind of a review of the big points. You know, I know like the first day, seminar day, which would be Friday.
Right. Seminar day is Friday. Also, Rookie Roundup will be that day.
Oh, yes. Very important.
So if you have listeners who are first timers, I encourage them to attend the Rookie Roundup. There will be a lot of information provided there about what to expect throughout the week and opportunities to ask questions. And also just to meet other people who have been coming for years. And so they may have some advice for you. So that is the first day. And there's always, and I've looked at the agenda some, I've been busier working this year than usual. So haven't gotten to read absolutely everything.
Yeah.
On the agenda.
It's big.
Our hospitality suite is in room 539.
Oh, good. Okay.
And that's, you know, we will have coffee and some snacks there and just have, it's a great place to come and just say hi to people. The presidential suite, I don't think the suite number has been determined yet.
Okay.
But all days it's open as well. You can find the times for both in the agenda. So people are welcome to come in and say hello. If people need to have a meeting with President Riccobono for some reason, they can arrange that for you in the presidential suite. Let's see. I have to confess, I'm an old school Federationist. We used to always have our conventions where they started on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Always seminar day. And so even though it hasn't really been that way in years, I find myself getting confused about the day of the week we're starting.
I understand. I do.
Because I want everything to start on Saturday. So I think the first day is Friday. The fourth is then would be a Saturday. And that day is both Friday and Saturday, by the way. We've started now allowing people to pick up their registration packets on the first day. We used to start on the second day of convention for registration, but now we've started doing it on the third this year.
Mm-hmm.
Starting at 9, you can do that. Now, I'm going to give people a recommendation, but you can do what you want because you might enjoy standing in lines. It is always quite active when the registration opens for the first time. And so on that morning, I would, if it were me, and this is what I will do, is I would wait a few hours to go pick up my packet. Just, you know, you can go to seminars without having had
your
packet picked up. So if you've got a couple of seminars you want to do in the morning, I would say go ahead and do that and pick up your registration maybe lunchtime or after.
Yes.
That'll help you to avoid the big crowd. and I tend to forget that sometimes, and I'll get in a big hurry and go at 10 o'clock and I'll stand in line for a couple of hours.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's
maybe not that bad.
Right. I know what you mean.
Our crew is efficient.
Very good advice.
But, you know, if you aren't in a big hurry, the other thing I would say, I'm telling people that are coming from Texas that I need to send emails out for that when you get your banquet ticket, please put it someplace safe. We don't replace lost banquet tickets. So just to give you a heads up, you know, I would put mine somewhere where it won't get lost.
Hey.
On the second day is, and Pam, jump in and help me with anything I'm forgetting. The second day is Resolutions Day, the mock the mock trial that the lawyers do is on that same day. So those are a couple of highlights from that day. On Sunday this year, I believe,
yes,
the 5th, and that is board meeting day and division day. So if you keep in mind, board meetings, often a lot of good information is shared there, and it is open. It is not a closed board meeting. It's open to everyone. So we invite everyone to come. And then that afternoon, of course, is division day. And that's where all our special interest groups meet and, conduct business or do a seminar or whatever whatever that particular division may be doing. So if you, whether you're a member of a division or not, you're welcome to attend in pretty much all cases. They may ask you if you want to join and take your dues. They'd be happy to do that. Then that evening I mentioned earlier is Southern Strums is that evening. So we invite people to that. I will say there is a cost to that because it supports the Harley Fetterman Memorial Scholarship.
Okay.
In Texas, we had a young man who was a great member of ours who died at 18 from cancer.
Oh,
he was so involved that we have named one of our scholarships for him. And his parents formed a foundation that supports our scholarship program. So
great cause, then. Great cause.
So that's why there is any fee at all.
Okay. Absolutely.
And then on the 6th is opening ceremony and roll call of states. The presidential report is the highlight of that day. And then, of course, you'll find there are meetings all through the evening as well on the 6th. The 7th is a regular general session day. You may find meetings through, other smaller meetings.
Right.
At times when we're not in session as well. And then, of course, the 8th is our final day. We're doing something different this year on the 8th. We generally have a full day of general sessions. If you've seen the agenda this year, you know that that's not the case this year. We're having a general session on the morning of the 8th, and then we're having additional breakout sessions on the afternoon of the 8th to kind of give people an opportunity to come and go as they need to or want to, and because it's also the evening of banquet.
Yes.
So we thought it would be a good change to just allow people to have some time to get up and stretch and to do different seminars rather than all sit in the delegation.
Absolutely.
And oh, it's banquet definitely ends the convention.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. I didn't go last year. I wasn't able to go last year, so I'm really excited to go this year. And like I said, our first time in Texas, me and my daughter Misty are coming together along with several other Ohioans. So lots of Buckeyes coming. And the exhibit hall, we're going to talk about a little bit, just real quick. We're almost out of time. But the exhibit hall, are you guys doing a table at exhibit hall?
We are. We work with 64-ounce games, 64-ounce Braille.
Yes.
They work at our table, but we receive profits from the sale of items at our table. So there will be Braille items and, who knows what you'll find at the Texas table.
That sounds like the Ohio table. We have a lot of stuff that's at the Ohio table too, a lot of different things. We have some of our crafters who make things, and then we have some food items and all of that. So you might find a little bit of everything at the Ohio table.
Yeah,
as well.
And people should absolutely, the exhibit hall can be chaotic, but it's fun too. It's, if you're looking to find out what's new in terms of technologies and other things in the blindness arena, it's a great opportunity to find those things. Sometimes you find new experimental things like Ira was a few years ago.
Yes.
Some of those work out, some of them don't. It also gives you an opportunity not only to know about products, but to talk to the people who make them to so that they can be improved.
Absolutely. Well, they just set out the list of everything that's going to be in the exhibit hall. Looks great. Looks like an exciting time. We're about out of time, but I know we are all excited, looking forward to coming to Texas, to Austin, and appreciate both your affiliate and your chapter, all the hard work you're putting into it. I know it's going to be a great week.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Can't wait to see everybody.
Yep. And I'll try to find you. I'll find the Texas flag during general session.
We actually do have a Texas flag.
So all right.
That's how you can find us.
Absolutely.
Big red, white, and blue Texas Lone Star flag.
Okay. Well, I will definitely look you up while I am there. So I appreciate both of you coming on. It's going to be an exciting convention. And once again, those of you who cannot come and experience all the things we talked about, go to nfb.org/convention and find that virtual experience. You'll be able to listen in on quite a few, all the general sessions, the banquet, the board meeting, I know the resolutions meeting, and there may be some other things that will be done virtually. So go to that website and find that and join us that way. And then maybe in the future, you'll be able to join us in person. It's going to be in Austin again next year. So if not this year, love to have you next year. And remember the DEI at Juneteenth seminar I talked about earlier. Come join us for that. Again, that number for Zoom, 408-185-0851. Well, thanks to both of our guests. Looking forward to Austin. And I will see you next month for a recap. Waiting to share my convention experience with you. Remember, you live the life you want. Blindness does not hold you back.